He invited everyone to come and to bring a friend. We were all surprised that afternoon to see some 200 people there. We had a wonderful meeting. At the end, when I issued the altar call, dozens came forward. Then Basil surprised me again by suggesting that we hold another meeting that night. I was more than willing, and so was Petrov. Still, we could not understand what had happened to this man who had a reputation as a marionette. That evening the church was packed. We all felt the presence of the Holy Spirit. That night scores of persons expressed a willingness to follow Christ, whatever the cost, and once again Basil invited everyone to come back the following evening. On Monday night, the church was so crowded people were standing along both sides and many were sitting in the center aisle. But this time Basil spotted half a dozen of his friends from the secret police in the congregation. We went ahead with a meeting, but omitted the altar call. We didn't even dare ask for a show of hands, for fear names would be taken down. After the meeting was over, Petrov and Basil and I sat in the vestry and wondered what we should do next. Obviously we could not hold any more meetings. What about Basil himself? Would he be in trouble now? It was clear to me that he was acting in a way he himself did not understand. What was going to happen now? What would the police do? And as the days passed, it became clear why Christ had chosen Basil rather than some other pastor to touch with his spirit. Because the police did nothing at all, neither to me, nor to Petrov, nor to Basil. Basil was one of their most valuable collaborators, they thought. Surely what he was doing must have some orthodox motive. He was too high up in the new outlook of the church to earn suspicion. Best, they must have concluded, to let the flame die with the departure of the Dutch evangelist. But when I departed, the flame did not die. The little church that had had 50-odd people attending sporadically became instead a live congregation of almost 400. Eventually, the government did try to stop the fire. Basil went to Switzerland for a long-delayed operation that fall. When he attempted to return to his country, he was turned back at the border. A new, safe pastor was chosen to take his place, and within 3 years he had successfully quenched the flames in this one building, for the attendance was back down to its original 50. But the 300 new converts left Stara Zagora, fanning out across the Balkan Peninsula, dispersed, like the church in Jerusalem, to build fires wherever they landed. None of these developments, of course, could we foresee at the time. But Petrov and I had learned one thing right at the beginning. It was never safe to call a church a puppet, no matter how dead, no matter how subservient and temporizing it may appear on the surface.